down the road of discussing the Holy Spirit. I really wanted to step into, like, as we started, what Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit was given, that we saw last week, to the Gentile, well, to the Jews, to Samaria, and then to the Gentiles. I wanted to kind of roll into the gifts of the Spirit, and then the joy and all the outcomings of the fruit of the Spirit. But I didn't want to bypass today of the Spirit, today of how we have the Spirit, the filling of what we have to have with the Holy Spirit after He was given to all of us, to all of humanity, and the Christians that come to Christ, how we are indwelled, which is huge for us as Christians, as people, to be indwelled with the Holy Spirit. But before we get there, worst job to ever have. You know what the worst job to have is? Archaeologist. Because your career is always in the ruins. Archaeologist, ruins, okay, that's one. Jeff, you're going to understand my jokes are really good. It takes a while for people to get a hold of them, but bear with the joke. What kind of bird sticks to sweaters? This one's really good, I think. A Velcro. That one sticks to sweaters. And the biggest complaint that parent spiders have of their children, you know what that biggest complaint is? They spend too much time on the web. Okay, anyway, that's... All right, so you can use those. Feel free to use those. All right. So on the job or with your friends or whatever. Let's just open the prayer this morning. Lord God, I pray that you will speak to us this morning. Meet with us here, Lord. We are here for you. We are here to worship you, and this be done. We are here to continue that worship as we open your word, as you speak to us, Lord. We pray that the Spirit will speak to us, and that, Lord, our hearts will be open and receptive of what your word tells us. Lord, we pray for that. Lord, we pray for all our thoughts and all the stuff that's going in around in our life. That we will spend the time now to listen to you. Help us to come closer to you and help this church, Lord, to be ministers with each other, to help each other, and also to reach out to the people around us. Lord, we pray for that. As we continue to pray for the families, younger families in the area that are looking for a church to call home, Lord, we pray for that. We pray that you'll make that aware to us and that we can reach out to them. All right, this morning we're going to be stepping, as I said, we're going to look at the Spirit and how the Spirit seals the believer, right? Because we know that in the Old Testament, we know that the Spirit was given many times, and we know in the New Testament that when the Spirit was given, then the Spirit was given to the Jews, Samaria, the Gentiles. Boom. The Spirit was given on the people after the Spirit was given to all humanity after Christ sent him. We now are living in a time. So what we read from Scripture is the Spirit now has been given to the believer, to Christian people, to all people, but the Spirit lives within us as believers, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. So just a quick review. Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit in John. We talked about it. What was the purpose of the Holy Spirit? The purpose was to convict people of sin, convict people into righteousness and judgment, guide in truth, and to bring glory to who? To Him. To bring glory to Jesus. That was the Spirit's job. And it was released that we talked about. And then we have what we have with the Spirit today. And many times, you know, we don't know how the Spirit works. The Spirit just works. And many times I find, I was talking about this yesterday. We were at a wedding, and somebody was asking about the church, and I was talking with another pastor, and we were just talking about America as a post-Christian society, right? That people aren't really, so many times, they don't find a need to be in church. They don't find a need to open the scriptures. They don't find a need to spend time with the Lord. And we were talking about this, and then this morning I read an article, which was a great article because it just makes me step back. So this article is about, and I'm not sure if you saw it, I saw it on Fox this morning, that there is a group of students in Alabama. Did anyone read this about this baptism? So, okay, so you read it? So here they had this, in Auburn, they just had a unifying time for the students to come together, and they had a pastor that was speaking. And as they were speaking, someone sent him a text as he's speaking to, you know, thousands of kids or whatever, and it said, "I've never been baptized." And so the pastor, you know, right during the time, looked at it and said, "Well, you know, someone just texted me that said they've never been baptized." And then I guess a bunch of people said, "Well, I've never been baptized either. I'm a Christian. I accepted Christ. I trust Christ as my Savior, but I've never been baptized." So, being led by the Spirit, the pastor said, "Well, let's have a baptism." So they went like half a mile down the road on campus there. There's a pond. And they had, like, they showed this picture of all these kids standing along the bank. And they had over 200 kids baptized. And so that's our college-age students that are looking at something more. So when I caught myself in what I was talking about last night, I'm saying we're in a post-Christian nation. But the Spirit's still working, right? So we see it there in Mama, where the Spirit was working, and all these kids decided, "Hey, you know what? I want to follow Christ, and I want to put that outward sign on my life of being baptized." And that happened. I'm not sure when that happened, like this week or something, but I just caught the article. So I thought that was really a really great thing that we can see. It's still happening. The Spirit is still working in our nation. 2 Corinthians, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. Starting in verse 21. Once again, we're talking about the Holy Spirit sealing the believer. "Now, it is God who makes both us," talking about the apostles, "and you," talking about us, the other people. "Now, it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." The anointing, we are anointed, this anointing of the Spirit. Anointing, we talked about it before, in Scripture, being anointed with oil. And that's the same phrase that's being used here. How the Holy Spirit, anointing is the cover, right? To smear on. And if you think about it, and if you read about things being anointed, they talked about things were anointed with oil. Or sometimes they used butter or other types. Like, you imagine being anointed with butter? We're going to anoint you with butter. I guess I tend to do that with my bread, but not with people. But anyway, so the anointing is to smear, to cover, to smear. So we, as believers, we are sealed. Once we come to Christ, once we understand Christ, we understand the gospel, we understand who Jesus and what he has done for us, the Spirit was already given. Now we are sealed at the time of our belief. We are sealed as believers with the Holy Spirit. the seal of ownership on us, that ownership, that seal, what's that look like? I'm trying to think about that. Because we know internally, we know the Spirit's in us, right? And it's kind of like a brand. You know, like in the Old West, I always loved reading the Western and the Louis Lamar books, and I always pictured myself being out on the range. I always felt like I was born in the wrong time frame. I always wanted to ride out, like, up in a mountain. And I always pictured myself kind of riding on a horse with my six-shooter on the one side, and you get off your horse, you have your rifle on the other side, you have a big stogie in your hand, because everyone, that's what they did, and you got off the trail, and I always pictured myself as a circuit rider. I always, if you read about the circuit riders through the gospel, to all these villages and these mining towns, that's kind of what I always pictured. And so I pictured this branding with cattle. They still do it today. They brand cattle. And I was reading an article in Oklahoma. So there's still cattle rustlers. So they're still branding cattle for cattle that go on the open range. So the ranches still take and they brand it either through hot, the searing heat, or they do with frozen. They also use it for frozen. Then they, technology today to do RFID technology, and they do microchips into cattle that they're branding, because the rustlers, the people that are still stealing cattle, which is kind of shocking that it still takes place, but it's big business. So, a head of cattle today costs like $3,000. So if you can glean off somebody else's cattle, you could walk away with a couple million or lose a couple million pretty easily if your cattle aren't. So that branding is their seal on that animal. The Holy Spirit seals us as believers in that same way. We are branded. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit that we are now what? We are God. We are branded, we are marked, and we are set aside as God. So if someone tries to steal us, well, we're branded, we're marked. We have that branding. We keep reading, the Spirit is put in our hearts. He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts. The Spirit is in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what's to come. We were at an auction a couple months ago, actually. There was a farm down the road from us. They had the auction. And with the auction, this farm, the people bought it, and at the time of auction, what did they do? They put the deposit down, put 10% down, or whatever it may be that's required by the auctioneer. The deposit is put down. That's the same what we see here. A deposit is put down. And what's that guaranteeing? It's a guarantee that more is coming, that there's an inheritance of what we see here, that there's an inheritance coming. The Holy Spirit is given to us as believers, indwells us, seals us, marks us, and it's as a deposit, saying there's more to come. The auction isn't done. Like, the deposit is given, but there's so much more. There's an inheritance that's coming. And that's what we see. That's what Paul's talking about. That there's more to come. Same thing that we see over in Ephesians. Ephesians 1. Verse 13 through 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal. And right there we see in that verse, the Holy Spirit, what Jesus talked about, the Holy Spirit was doing His job. The purpose, just like Jesus talked about, the purpose of the Holy Spirit was to do what? Convict of sin and righteousness, to bring people to righteousness. And that's what we see happening in that verse. So exactly what Jesus said is exactly what the Holy Spirit was doing. Now read it again. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, and having believed, you, at that time, you were marked with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. For us today, when we come to Christ, and we understand and the Spirit works in our life, and we understand, and it can be the dirtiest of all sinners. It doesn't matter what people have done, right? If they are convicted in their sin and they accept the salvation through Christ, at that moment, you get an indwelling, you're filled. We have the Spirit that comes into our life as a deposit. We have this deposit that's put into our life. Having believed, you were marked in Him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is, and he talks about the same thing in verse 14, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are in God's possession to the praise of His glory. Understand that a little bit more, how to explain some, because we know we understand that feeling. And as I was thinking about it, it reminded me of kind of what Karen was doing the other week. I'm not sure where Karen is, but I'm going to use that as an example. So, Karen the other week, when we had an outside service, she was giving out these coupons. And this past week, and these coupons, it's a coupon, that's all it is. It's a coupon that was let, hey, go get ice cream at this place because here's a coupon, it's a free ice cream cone. Pretty good deal, right? So who got one of these? Did anyone use it yet? Okay. So this week, or yeah, I think it was sometime this week, my brother and sister-in-law stopped over, and they said, well, we can't stay, we're going to meet and friends, because they all got a coupon. So they're all going up to get ice cream with all their kids because, yeah, they love the coupon. But they had the coupon. And I started thinking about the coupon. Because the coupon, all it is a piece of paper. Right? As people, that's what we are. We're a piece of paper. But then we become a coupon. Because the only difference with this coupon and this piece of paper is what's on this coupon. This coupon is marked. It's sealed with... You get a free ice cream. That's what the coupon says. Piece of paper, same thing. And it says nothing. There's no seal on it. There's no mark on it. There's nothing on it. So as I was thinking about this verse, if you look at the paper as the world, all people, every person is a piece of paper. Once the Spirit is working in our life, just as Jesus said, that the Spirit is here to convict and to bring to righteousness. And once that person, that piece of paper, gets the seal, they become a coupon. So guess what? Really, as Christians, we're just a coupon. I'm a coupon. That's all I am. I'm a coupon because I'm marked. I have that seal of the Holy Spirit that's in my heart, that's indwelling us as all believers. We have that coupon. Now, when my brother and sister-in-law took their kids and they go to get ice cream, if they handed on this piece of paper, what would happen? Can you imagine if I went up there and said, hey, here's my ice cream, here's my free ice cream, maybe I'd hit the road, pal, what are you doing? But they have sealed cork, same type of piece of paper, and they go up to the window and they hand it, and what do they get? Out comes a cone, here's your ice cream, would you have the sealed marked cart? That's all we're talking about here with the Spirit. The Spirit marks us as people. We are people. So let's read that verse. I want to read that verse again in this way. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation. Having believed, you were marked with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit or makes you a coupon. That seal, you now a coupon. Owned by who? The coupon, we hold it. We are that coupon. But who holds the coupon? God holds the coupon. Who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. God's possession. Humanity all around us, there's just people. And not everybody is in God's possession, are they? Scripture shows us that right there. Not all people are in God's possession. Many people aren't living for God. Many people don't care who God is. Many people don't understand, but there's also many people that are still searching. That the Spirit is there still to convict, to bring them to righteousness. That they, what? That they can be a coupon. So, when my brother-in-law takes the kids up the window, they hand them the coupon. When they redeem that coupon, what do they get? This is a price thing. So what do they get? Once I hand this to you, Esther, what do I get? You get an ice cream. Because the possessor is now turning in his coupon. Scripture tells us, when God, who holds the coupon, he's the possessor, he has marked us through the Holy Spirit. When he gives us that coupon, when that coupon is redeemed, that inheritance, that promise, then all of a sudden is going to be fulfilled. When it's redeemed, it's fulfilled. So as Christians, when we are filled with the Spirit, we are marked, we are branded like that cow that's branded out on the open range or however I can picture that. We are marked. When God, who's the holder of the coupon, holder of that seal, he that, guess what we get as believers? That rest of the inheritance of us as believers is being fulfilled. Scripture talks about for us as believers. So we have salvation. We are indwelled and marked. And we know when Christ comes again, there will be a redeeming time. And we are guaranteed. My father-in-law passed away about 2 years ago. He was sealed as a believer. And many loved ones that we know, sealed as believers. When their time has come, they go, that inheritance transfers, it's redeemed. We go to Christ in heaven through salvation in Jesus Christ, that we are marked by the Spirit. That's how the Holy Spirit now has been given, and that's what marks us in our life, in our soul, in our heart, that we are filled, we are marked with the Spirit. Now, since God holds the coupon, what's the benefit? What's the benefit? Yeah, we get a benefit, right? We definitely get a benefit. We have this inheritance. We have salvation. We spend glory and eternity in Christ, and we escape the death of hell, right? Because we understood our sinful nature. We accepted and we heard when the Spirit was talking to us that we were convicted, just the Spirit was supposed to do, convict us, and that we had faith and righteousness, and our life changes. And then as the Spirit continues to do its work, that He's supposed to work in our life to teach us truth. And then the last part of what the Spirit's job is to do what? When God has the redemption of the coupon, it comes down to one thing, and that is this, in the last verse, in verse 14. Who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. Why? To the praise of His glory. To the praise of His glory. The redeeming time of that coupon, us, is for God's glory. And that's what Jesus talked about the Spirit, to bring what? Honor and glory to Jesus Christ, to God. That was the purpose. And the Spirit working right there, and once that redemption takes place, it's to glorify God. Not to glorify us, not to glorify humanity, to glorify God. That's now, as we look at the Holy Spirit in our world, and where the Spirit now is within us, as we as believers are marked. We as believers, once we are marked and we are filled with the Spirit, we also know that the Spirit unfolds these gifts into our life. Why? And we're going to start this in the next couple of weeks. The Spirit gives gifts given by God to us for the same purpose. The same purpose is to glorify God, to glorify Christ Himself of what He has given us. Next week, I want to start. Have you guys ever taken a spiritual gift questionnaire? It's basically a questionnaire of, you know, what you're good at, your spiritual questions, and just the personality questions of you and of me. And so what I want to do is, if we, as a church, if we as people are under the guidance and the truth of the Spirit makes us as believers together work together as a body. So we all have different gifts. We all have different qualities that are given to us. And I want to know what our gifts are. Because don't we do that with an automobile? Like, an automobile has different qualities that make the automobile run. A spark plug isn't in a diesel car. That's right. Right, Tom? Spark plug isn't in a diesel, right? That's a glow plug. Okay. So there's different things that work differently, right? I want to know from our church, what's here? Because the church is given these gifts. If we can understand what our gifts are better, what do? We help impact our community. We help impact one another in the church. All for what? All to bring glory to Jesus Christ. So next week, I'm going to We'll have these questionnaires and a spiritual gift assessment, and we'll give them out, and you can take them home so you can spend some time going through them, so you have some time to think about. In the following week, then I want to come together and let's look to see where we are. It's just, a number. If it's an assessment, it's not like set in stone, right? You're answering questions. It's an assessment of this. You might have a spiritual gift of faith or wisdom. Or you might have a spiritual gift of whatever it might be, administration or teaching, to help better the church, to help glorify Jesus Christ. Those things are given by the Spirit. So I want to start to unfold that next week, that we can do that, because for our church to grow, don't you think it's wise that we know what our gifts are? We need that. So instead of rubbing our head against a sand belt, a belt sander, make the job easier and understand who we are as people. Understand that better, so we can impact the world around us. That's really how we're going to get. So, this morning, you're a coupon. I'm a coupon. And when our coupon is pulled, when our coupon is redeemed by God, it's for His honor, for His glory, for Him to be praised. And the prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for so many things in my life. I thank you for so many things, even when things are difficult. I thank you that it boils down to you loving me, you dying for me. You know I'm a sinful person. You know that I make mistakes. We all do. But yet, Lord, you are in possession of our ticket, of our coupon. You love us. I don't know why you love us, but I can't even say that. But you love us. Thank you for that. Lord, I pray begin to understand what the spiritual gift that you have given us, to realize those gifts are made and used for us to give glory to you. To honor you, Lord, I pray, as we, as a church, begin to look at some of these things that have been given to us through the Spirit, through you, that we can understand these within our life, that we can impact the community around us, Lord. You know, I still pray for 10 families in this community that we can impact. Lord, help us to understand what you have given us, and that we will be good stewards of the gifts you have given us, no matter how old we are or how young we are. Guide us this week, Lord. We ask for, once again, a special blessing, a special peace on tour this day. In your name we pray. Amen.